track 8, and now we come to letters to the editor. There are 4 letters, but we're only reading 3, as the other one is covered in the national media. The town is getting like a ghost town, writes John Clements from Hennock. I felt quite bereft when I heard that Newton Abbot is closing down even further. Of course, if you live to the northwest, getting there is far from easy, for the A382 is closed for 2 years. 2 years, and the people who have closed it are preening themselves with the good news that if they had used traffic lights, the closure would have been 3. Well, I'm sure we're all very grateful to hear that. I did try to go into Newton via Kingstainton, but the traffic, I gave up so as not to add to the chaos myself. The real death started with the closing of Marks and Spencer's. That was a serious loss. And then Wilco's followed and several other outlets in the Market Square and other areas. Newton Abbot is well on its way to achieving the designation Ghost Town. But now I hear that the vast profits made by Santander, even allowing for paying off financial compensation for shady dealings, are not enough to maintain a branch in Newton Abbot, which will close in May. Where is the service to customers in this? It's all about profit. My nearest little town is Bovey Tracy, which once had 4 banks and now has none. Is this the inevitable fate of Newton Abbot? When I do come to Newton to go to the bank and then shop, there is often, usually, a queue which speaks of a need for that service, for we do not all want to spend our lives online. But Santander is clearly putting profit before customers. My nearest branch will then be Exeter. More travel, more congestion, more pollution. Before that, also inevitably closes, forcing us all online, where profits are even more vast, for all those staff redundancies are excellent for profit. And then there are the potholes, but that is another, albeit connected, story.
This letter is from Ben Hartshorn via email. It's entitled Hypocrisy of Devon County Council Leader? I recently visited Cranbrook for the first time and found the parade of bedraggled flags at the entrance to Court Royal unwelcoming. If someone wants to fly a flag, any flag, they can hang it from their own property. If they fix it to a lamppost without a licence, it is illegal and it is the responsibility of the Highway Authority to remove it. This law works for us all. Not just in terms of safety, but giving protection from unwanted advertising and ever-encroaching street clutter. The leader of Devon County Council, Julian Brazil, once said, "Streetlights are meant for lighting. It wouldn't need much of a breeze for a flag, often hung 8 metres up, to be dislodged and fall onto the windscreen of a moving vehicle or cyclist and cause an accident." He was all for removing flags. Now, he said, the council's position is neutral. However, it is not neutral to shirk the responsibility that comes with being the highway authority. What next in Devon? The police turning a blind eye to drink driving, Mr. Brazil? If your councillor is like Julian Brazil and won't do the job they were elected for, then it's time to vote them out and choose someone who will work for you.
May Puckey, via email, writes, "Too many clothes and nothing to wear." A fundamental problem with the fast fashion industry is its overproduction, creating approximately 80 billion garments annually. This results in immense waste. In the United States alone, 34 billion tons of textiles are discarded every year. While 66% of this ends up in landfills, the 15% labelled as recycled is often misleading. Half of these items are exported to countries such as Ghana to be sold at the Kantamoto market, the world's largest used clothing market. However, roughly 40% of the imported clothing is unsellable, leading to it being dumped on Ghanaian beaches, having devastating consequences for marine biodiversity. Notably, the UK is the largest exporter to Ghana, with Marks & Spencer's being the most frequently found brand littered across the coast. Fortunately, consumer awareness is growing rapidly. Shopping secondhand has surged in popularity, and in charity shops, you can donate to charity whilst finding unique vintage pieces. Community initiatives are growing in scale, such as Los Angeles Radical Clothes Swap, where hundreds of participants exchange unwanted garments, keeping clothes in circulation. Clothing rentals have also emerged as a sustainable alternative for one-off occasions. The Welsh business Hire the Attire demonstrates the potential of this model. If rental services replace just 10% of annual purchases, it would save 160 tonnes of carbon dioxide in the UK alone. Perhaps the most effective solution is simply buying less, limiting oneself to 8 new items of clothing per year could reduce the industry carbon footprint by 37%. While individual awareness is promising, the fashion industry still lacks the systematic action necessary to curb overproduction and the subsequent waste it causes. Until major brands move beyond linear production models, these consumer-driven efforts will remain a counterculture rather than the industry standard.